Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am your host for this year's show. Welcome, welcome. This is episode number 117. We're back with a full force. It's been a weird few weeks, 2 weeks, mostly because it's been E3. And guess what? We've got all the crew back. So without further ado, we're going to be talking about E3, but I want to let you know who's on the show. Kat, how goes?
Hello. I'm a bit tired. Hungover. Okay, I'm hungover.
Okay. We're gonna get into that because you had a special event yesterday. That's yes. Cool. Simon.
Hello.
How is you?
I'm okay. It's early Saturday morning and I'm out of coffee, so I'm having a hard time being a human right now, but I'll figure it out.
Fake it till you make it, bud.
No, it's not even about fake. It's about being alive at this moment.
You can do it. Push through. Oh,
I will figure it out.
Allie, welcome home.
Hi.
Oh my goodness, we have so much to talk to you about. So many things. Because you were at E3.
Yes.
And one word to describe it all?
Interesting.
Okay. Ooh, that's good. So that's going to be... We don't know what that means. That's so ambiguous. Even
it's like,
in her
it
tone.
Happened, so that's something.
It's wicked. I love this. It's going to be a great topic of the show for those of you listening here. Now, we're going to be jumping into all that was E3 this year from a fan's perspective, because Allie actually got to go, and this year, she wasn't really doing the industry thing like she did the year prior. You got to go to FanFest with Xbox.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was very jealous.
So, for those of you who didn't know, E3 was actually open to the public this year, too. So I'm curious to hear all the details about what it was like with an extra 15,000 people on the show floor. But before we get into topic of the show, of course, I want to know what everybody is playing. So, Allie, you were obviously away for a bit. Yes, go ahead.
But before I talk about what I'm playing, can I just point out that this is like the Master Chief edition of... the podcast.
Why do you say that?
Episode 117.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh. Oh my lord. It's true. It's true.
I just had to point that out.
But, I like that.
What have I been playing recently?
Yeah, girl.
Well, I haven't really had much time.
It happens.
So I haven't really jumped into anything big, but what I have been using my gaming time for is to revisit couch co-op games with my fiance. And so we've been playing games like Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time and Chariot, and been having a lot of fun with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually hard to come by a lot of couch co-op games lately. I find that a lot of games are more leaning towards the online co-op rather than couch co-op. So you'll have to give us your recommendations of the best couch co-op games later.
Well,
you start
those
rolling
two...
through all of those.
Those two are definitely two underrated titles that were actually part of Xbox Games with Gold. So you might already have them downloaded and just sitting in your ready to download section.
That's cool.
Weren't you playing also Overcooked at one point?
We did actually. That was last year around Christmas. We three-starred every single level in Overcooked.
Okay.
As well. So that's done.
And I remember it was like, that was the real relationship tester is playing Overcooked.
Oh yeah, like I am a strong believer that couch co-op games are like kind of like the cheapest form of therapy. Like couples therapy. if you're having issues, that's not why we're playing them. We're just playing them because we're bored.
Okay, that's a good start.
But they are a great way to spend time with your significant other, your friends, whatever. And it's a very, very, very cheap form of getting everything off your chest.
That's awesome.
Or breaking some controllers. Simon, what are you playing?
Hello. I have a list. I should check because I forget.
You have a list. Holy smokes, dude.
Oh, it's only three little things. But
okay.
Oh, well, PlayerUnknown Battleground, of course. I started playing with a friend. Mm-hmm. So a guy from work. We're doing duos now, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love this game. It's so awesome. Path of Exile. I felt like playing a little Diablo kind of game. And I don't know, I was hearing a lot of good stuff about it. And I'm like, I'm going to try it. And so far, I'm having a good time. It's like very reminiscent of Diablo 2 more than Diablo 3. Like, I feel it's a lot more like D2. But apparently, I think there was a graphic overhaul maybe a year ago or something. It looks really good. And I don't know, I had a good time. So,
if you want to talk about graphic overhauls for Path of Exile, that will be coming to Xbox One X in 4K.
Ooh.
Which I got to play at E3. We can talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later. Dun, dun, dun.
Yay, exciting.
And, I bought, I know we're going to talk about the Steam sale, but a little preview. I bought Hollow Knight on the Steam sale. It's so much fun. It's super cute. It's fun. It's just like, I don't know. It reminds me, I love Shovel Knight, it reminds me a lot of Shovel Knight. They even have Knight in the title. But it's like a mix. Honestly, it's kind of a mix, like, I want to say, like, side-scrolling Dark Souls and Shovel Knight. So it's kind of, like, fucking perfect for me. Like, when you die, you have to go back and get your stuff. There's bosses, which are, like, huge, and you have to, like, learn their pattern to kill them. And I don't know, I'm having a really good time playing this little game. And it's like, right now it's $11 on the Steam sale. Totally worth it. Totally worth it. I played a couple hours last night, and it's very fun.
Sweet.
Yep.
Kat, how about you?
I'm still playing Overwatch lunchtime sessions. Having a lot of fun with that. And sometimes I'll play Mystery Heroes, because my Wi-Fi is not super great, so I play a mode that's very casual in case I disconnect or I lag out, which happens a lot. I'm doing small sessions of Breath of the Wild. I'm trying to finish the game, but I don't want to finish it. It's the first game where I'm just like, I don't want to finish this. I don't want this to end.
I haven't played in 2 months. I'm at Ganon. I haven't played it because
DLC is coming, though, guys.
I don't want to finish the game.
DLC is coming.
I might get a Switch before we actually get the DLC, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm still running through Hyrule, and Sega just launched Sega Forever, where they're bringing all their classic games to mobile. They're basically doing what we've been asking Nintendo to do for years. So I've been playing a bit of Sonic of the Hedgehog on my phone.
Sonic of the Hedgehog?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I know, but I like it named like that.
Sir Sonic of the Hedgehog.
it sounds like a poor translation.
Exactly. It sounds like what that's what they should have called him in Sonic and the Black Knight. Just Sir Sonic of the Hedgehog.
Yeah. It sounds very proper.
It does. It's awesome.
It does. The only thing is the free version you need to be connected to the internet so they can serve you ads, and they serve you a lot of ads.
Yeah.
So I'm actually debating buying it for $2 to something Canadian, I think.
Oh,
okay.
And I still have some Google Play credits, so I might just buy it so I can play it offline, because I started the first level and I remembered everything. Every single thing.
Is it Sonic 1?
I think it's Sonic 2.
Oh, Sonic 2. Sonic 1 is Green Hill Zone. Is it I think it's that too for Sonic 2, right?
Well, it has Tails in it, and
oh yeah, that's two.
Tails, and you can unlock also Knuckles.
It's gotta be two.
I remember having Sonic 3 and putting the Sonic 2 cartridge above, so you could have Knuckles in the.
Oh my god!
But I didn't. I never had the original Sonic game. I only had Sonic 2. We used to play together, Sonic and Tails, my friend and I, couch co-op. So, and it's exactly the same. So.
How excited are you for Sonic Mania?
I'm cautious.
I'm super excited.
I think it looks great, but
it looks awesome.
I saw it at the Nintendo Switch event, and it looks pretty dope.
Yeah? Oh my god.
There's another reason to buy a Switch there, Simon. There's another reason to buy a Switch.
Yeah, seriously.
Is it a Switch exclusive?
No. I don't think so.
To the Googles. The only time where it's okay for you to hear me type.
Yeah.
is this Sega thing, is it just one app?
It's multiple apps.
Okay.
It's just the program is called Sega Forever. But you can, the games you download individually.
Okay. It's like an emulator, cool. Right?
No, it's just it's just they have a social, the game publisher, if you type Sega Forever in iOS or Google mm-hmm. Play, mm-hmm. it'll pop out all of these classic games because they have the Sega games. They've made Sonic games for mobile. But Sega Forever is them porting classic games to mobile. So if you're looking for Sonic the Hedgehog, the Sega Forever version, and you just type Sonic the Hedgehog, you'll get all the other games.
Okay.
And if you type Sega Forever, you'll just get the list of all the classic games. So those are like straight up ports.
Okay.
Cool.
And you download whichever you want.
Sonic Mania, Windows, Switch, PS4, Xbox One.
Nice.
All the consoles. Hi, Bowie. I'm definitely going to get it. Oh, no, that was Penny, I think.
Both of them ran.
Hi,
both
Penny.
Of them ran.
It's okay. It happens. It's,
yeah,
it's not
puppers.
Good.
Puppers.
Cute puppers.
Yeah. So, guys.
Hello.
I think there are games that just are not made for me. Like ARMS.
Your review was pretty fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, like, maybe I'm just not good at motion control games. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm too twitchy. Maybe I, like, need to, like, when I come home and I want to play a game, I want to sit in whatever configuration I want. Because ARMS very much makes you stay a certain way all the time and move a certain way. And it just doesn't work for me, like, at all. So the game, in a nutshell, has all the things I should like. Like, it's not a speedy fighter. It's got cute characters, cute world, all that kind of stuff. But, like, the motion controls just don't work for me. Ugh. So sad.
I'm really tempted to try it and see.
Hey, you're willing to take the cartridge if you want.
I don't have the Switch. I'll come to your place and
come to my house and try
and
it
can
out.
Get drunk and play ARMS.
Exactly. Punch each other. There you
yes,
go. We might
perfect.
Right next to each other. But yeah, no, I'm just, it's so frustrating because, like, I want it to work and I'm just, no, sorry. On a happier note, I finally started Titanfall 2. So I got about 2 hours into that. I pulled a total noob move the other day. I was playing. I had everything set up. And I have this, like, stepping stool or footrest here under my desk that covers up Michael's pedal board. So I'm not, like, stomping on his, like, expensive pedal board. I went and put it back. And I hit the power bar and switched off everything in my system. So I lost what I was doing. So I had to go back and redo that.
No!
So that's not a big deal.
Oh,
and then,
dude, you're going to have such a good time. The campaign is really fun.
It's really solid.
And the multiplayer is insane. It's so insane.
The whole wall running thing and then jumping kind of throws me for a loop. It's like platforming in a first-person shooter. And I'm like, whoa, this is like catching me for a loop.
I mean, a lot of it is like, I don't know if you play like Prince of Persia or those kinds of games. It's
a long time ago.
Yeah, it's the same principle. You like your wall running, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty much you jump and then you hit the button and then you on it, you know.
Yeah, it's just, it's not like it's unexpected, it's just throwing me for a mental loop.
Yeah, no, yeah, I had to, my brain had to like switch to I can do that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Exactly. And yesterday, we're gonna talk more about it in a bit, but like I bought Cities Skylines and played 7 hours yesterday. I love those types of games. They're awesome. Anything like simulation, man, so much fun. Management of city resources.
Oh yeah, City Skylines. Is that what you streamed last night?
Yeah.
It's a really fun game.
It's really good.
I liked Cities, and it's like miles ahead of SimCity, so
yeah,
it's really awesome.
It's so good. The idea, like, you gotta go and like figure out taxation and stuff, and like, oh my god, it's just like I'm not even there yet. I'm just trying to make sure that people don't like leave my city.
Honestly, like I at one point I was playing pretty seriously. Like I was looking up videos online of like real videos and like how cities manage traffic and how they handle, you know, the growing population and stuff. And it was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool, because like that's one of the things that I enjoyed the most, is like optimizing the traffic flow in your city is what I had the most fun doing. So
I built a metro.
Cool. Yeah, but people were still gonna use their cars.
I know, but I built a metro. I felt very Montrealer. All right, let's take a short break and get into some news of this past week. We'll be right back.
Hey,
And we're back. Time to talk some news. And, you know what? Pokemon Go is a year old, guys.
Yeah.
Are you still playing?
Yep.
No.
I started playing recently, actually. I'm well, with the event and stuff.
But did you anticipate that they were going to do something big for the 1 year? Is that why you jumped back in? Or is it because of, like, the water and the... What was a fire and there was a rock and an ice event?
I came back when there was the first event. I forget which one it was. But, you know, one of my main complaints about Pokemon Go is that, like, you know, whenever I'm around my house or whatever, or it's not a heavily populated area...
Me too.
You always get the same fucking dumb Pokemons, and I was, like, really tired of it. But now with those events, like, very close to my house, I had, like, Kabuto and Slugma and, like, all those cool Pokemons that usually don't spawn near my place, spawning near my place. I was like, okay, this is cool. So I would open it again, and it got me back into the app, just opening it wherever I was, so... Yeah, those events really got me back into the game. And then they announced the 1 year anniversary and the raids and the gym updates and that stuff. So I thought that was really cool. Like, you know what? I'm going to get. I'm half tempted to buy Pokemon Go Plus or Pro, whatever it's called.
Oh, the little.
The $45 wristwatch that doesn't do anything, that doesn't tell time. But, like, okay, like, full disclosure, I started running a couple of weeks ago, and it's like. That would be fucking perfect because you don't need to have like your thing out or anything and it just works. Like, oh my god.
That's what I do.
I'm tempted to get it.
I have I got Michael because Michael works at a sports distribution center and they handle Osprey and I asked him to pick me up a fanny pack of all things so that when I run with Bowie, I actually have a thing screen for my, you know, like a pocket for my phone and I always have Pokemon Go running, so I'll like stop and like flip the thing up and like throw some Pokemon, put it back down, and continue running.
No, but well, the main problem is that I use an app on my phone and I have music on my phone, so I can't have Pokemon open at the same time. So that's why, like, I would need to have like the actual, and you know, the Plus is cool too because you can just have it on whenever you pass near what is it called?
Pokestop?
Pokestop, yes. It just, like, picks it up and automatically and things.
That's so pretty cool.
I'm tempted to get it.
When I was playing, I was listening to music at the same time.
Me too.
No, I could, but it's just that I'm using... the music is fine, is that I have a running program that I use that tells me, like, start running, and it doesn't like when I have, like, music, it works, but I try to Pokemon and it doesn't... It doesn't, like, the application doesn't tell me when to start or stop when Pokemon is opened.
Oh, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, guys. All of a sudden, I pulled out a news story to talk about with the Pokemon stuff, and music started playing in my head. Stupid autoplay ads. Mm-hmm. Allie, so you're still playing?
Yeah, I mean, here and there. Usually when I'm out and about, I'm not just hanging out at home. I am a little disappointed how long it's taken them to get Pokemon Go to this point. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what they're going to do in the future. There's a big event up in Chicago in July. Mm-hmm. It's one of their first public events. And I think I might actually go to it.
Seems like it's
going to be a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's still a fun game. I just think they need to start rolling updates out faster. A lot quicker.
And you, Kat, you dropped off.
I completely dropped off.
Did you uninstall it from your phone?
Yeah, actually. I got a new phone and I did not re-download it, I think.
Oh.
It's just not in my habits anymore. And now it's summer. I'm going to start walking around outside a lot and I could start playing again. But during the winter, it was just so impractical that I kind of like forgot it existed.
What's safe for me is my bus route, which is fairly slow because the stops has a lot of Pokestops on it. So it's a good one for me to go to.
I want to change jobs so that I can take the bus so I can play Pokemon.
There you go. That's life skills.
Living the dream.
Oh, I travel underground, so no GPS for me.
It's true.
Yeah,
that sounds like your problem.
Yeah. It is a problem for certain games, but I get anywhere in the city within 10 minutes, so I'm not going to complain.
There's one big part of this news story that I want to talk about. So as soon as, like, I think it went live on Thursday night, I got the update. And immediately when you go in, so the whole raid thing where you can go in and with a bunch of friends and try and take down a big Pokemon to get rewards and stuff and the ability to catch that big Pokemon, there was a level cap. Mm-hmm. And when the whole thing started, the level cap was 35. Mm-hmm. I've been playing for a year. Pretty heavily, like enough, like almost every day for a year, I'm at 23.
Yeah, unless you're like a spoofer, getting to 35 is very hard. Or, like every time, like, well, what people do is that they never like evolve anything, they never do anything, they just catch everything, and then when they have enough, they use a lucky egg, then they do like an evolving
marathon
frenzy for like 30 minutes where they just get like three levels by just leveling and getting your Pokemon entries by doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, luckily, I think the folks at Niantic were listening. I've been seeing news stories all the time now where people are saying, like, they dropped the level cap.
Oh, yeah?
So it went down to 28, anything. And now the update on Forbes that I'm reading is it's down to 25.
Okay.
I'm still not even 25. Right now, I would have to go and do some seriously playing to be able to get there. I'm 23. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's really fair in that sense. They've got to make a way to make it easier to level up besides just, evolving Pokemon.
If they want to get their player base back with these events, they can't put a level cap on it.
No.
They're going to have to either have a separate event to get old players back or, you know, they're going to have to think about that because their numbers are just going to keep... Yeah, their numbers are just going to keep dropping.
They're going to bleed numbers.
I think they're pretty much, like, at their lowest right now. Like, I don't think... If you haven't played before the events and the updates, like, I don't think, you know, that was probably the lowest that they're ever going to be.
Mm.
Whereas now with the events and stuff, people are going to start coming back on. But I feel that, you know, the numbers they were at before the events is probably the number that they're going to go drop back down to as soon as the events are done. Mm.
So maybe Niantic and folks will listen to us at some point and the collective mob, I guess you could say, and hopefully make a means for us to be able to level up faster. Because, like, right now, there's already, like, epic tons of people with, like, I've seen you can click on the gyms even if you're not super close to them. You can see what Pokemon are there. And there's already lots of people. And, like, I'm seriously disappointed since I've stuck with it for a year and yet I can't even compete and play in the raids. Kind of disappointing for me.
And make a stupid smart app watch. Come on, Niantic, not Nintendo.
Yeah.
Make a smart app watch. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
I know you want to sell your bullshit Pokemon Go Plus thing, but please make a watch app. Come on.
Yeah. Kat, what do you got for us?
Well, the Nintendo 64 turned 21.
Woo!
Oh,
happy
it can
birthday.
Drink. It can drink in the States.
That's true.
Yeah. There's a cute article on Polygon, some advice for the Nintendo 64 on its 21st birthday from a 23-year-old who was there not too long ago. So it's great. It's got little parts like, you will drink, you will waste all your money drinking, you will start going to clubs and things like that, you will get your heart broken, and just a little life lesson. And I thought it was really cute. But yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, the Nintendo 64 is 21. Like, it came out, I was 11. And now I'm an adult and I have a bunch of gray hairs.
Okay, favorite Nintendo 64 game, go.
Ocarina of Time.
Same.
Allie.
I don't think Allie really plays.
Allie's like, no.
I didn't have one. Guys, I'm not a Nintendo fan.
Fine, like, no.
It's just not something
whatever.
I grew up with. I don't have that nostalgia. It's just, I don't know.
We didn't have a 64, but my best friend Guillaume had one and he would bring it over because it was easy to cart a console and some wires back then. And we had Mario Kart tournaments and GoldenEye tournaments where he would always win.
GoldenEye sucks.
Now it does. Back in the day, it was the shit. Simon, how about you? What was your favorite 64 game?
Oh, Banjo-Kazooie, of course. Magic game.
Speaking about more games to play, dropping money, Steam Summer Sale is on!
What?
It was leaked by PayPal, of all people.
Well, I mean, they leaked that it was coming. They didn't leak any games that were going to
happen. PayPal leaked a couple years ago, too, the dates.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing. So if you need leaks, go to PayPal. Weird.
Hey, look at that. Outlast 2 is 20%. Wink,
look
wink.
Look at that.
Wink, wink.
Very nice, very nice. have you guys bought anything? I mean, I bought City Skylines. Did you guys buy anything?
Yeah, yeah. I did. I bought, you want to laugh? I bought Hollow Knight.
Yep.
And I bought Shadows of Mordor because I wanted to play it again. It was $5. And I'm like, you know what? It's been like 4 years, whatever. I'm going to try it again just to see what it is and just to see if my feelings aren't as changed. For $5, I'm like, I'll get it. Yeah, so I got it.
I was talking to a friend yesterday and he was like, I just picked up like Shadow of Mordor and all the expansion for $6.
Yeah, that's what I, $5.99, that's exactly what I got.
They're prepping for the next game.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. I want to try it, see what it is and see if I still hate it. I probably do. But yeah, I'm watching a couple games. Like Salt and Sanctuary looks really awesome. It's another platformer, which is like pretty much Dark Souls 2D. So I'm looking forward to that, see if it's going to go on sale. And I have a lot of, like, I don't really have any blockbuster games. It's really mostly, like, little smaller indie games that I'm looking into. Because I have all the blockbuster games anyways, and I don't fucking play them. So let's get little smaller games and stuff, see what happens.
Mm. How about you, Allie? Did you pick anything up?
Nope, not a thing.
Not a thing? Not interested in anything on the lists?
No, I just don't like dividing my time between Steam and Xbox.
Oh, you have really jumped on to straight up Xbox, haven't you?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. I put a bunch of stuff in my wish list that I'm looking into. Danganronpa, because I never played that. Beat Cop, Abzu, because I've heard nothing but good. Ooh, Origami, which is supposed to be like a sneaky game, which looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got a few things. And Ark Survival Evolved.
Oh, guys. If you haven't played Shovel Knight, it's on special.
Yeah.
It's $20 for the Treasure Trove edition. Okay, $20, you get the Shovel Knight campaign, the Spectre Knight campaign, and the Plague Knight campaign, is pretty much three freaking different games. Like, they released a DLC, which is pretty much a full fucking game. So, no, for $20, definitely look into it. It's hard, but it's super rewarding, and, like, the movement is so fuck. Like, the Spectre Knight campaign blew my fucking mind. So definitely give it a try. If you're into platformers at all, definitely get Shovel Knight. It's really good.
Sweet. And
there's some pretty good deals. Like XCOM 2 is down from $80 to $26.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, I've been looking at Talos Principle for a little while, and it's like $10 instead of $45 right now. So I'm like,
me too. It's been on my wish list for a while, and I'm like, I should pick it up because I've been wanting to play forever and I'm looking for shit that my laptop can run.
Yeah, I mean Talisman Sprawl is pretty hardcore. I don't know if your laptop can run it, but like I was looking at Fury, looks really cool too. Tomb Raider, it's Rise of the Tomb Raider is still $70. Well, it's on special at like 28, but like the non-special price is $70 still. Like, Jesus.
Why? Isn't that, I don't know, like a year and a half old now?
Rise of the Tomb Raider. I don't know how old it is. Yeah. A year and a half old.
Because it came out on PlayStation last fall. Yeah.
Gosh darn.
PlayStation, because it was an Xbox One first. Wow, I feel like I played that forever ago.
Yeah, so that's pretty shitty.
And the last little bit of news, and it's not really news, it's more just like something I found on the internet that I had a good giggle at. So I haven't seen a whole lot about the HoloLens yet. I did get to try it at a MIGS event there last November. I think it's pretty cool. It works pretty well. The augmented reality is pretty dope.
I love AR. Oh.
Well, this one guy took the HoloLens and built himself a real-life Super Mario Brothers level in it where he can play and use all the like gestures and stuff and actually like go through it. It's kind of hilarious. We'll link to it, the video, because you can see him, like, you see his perspective and what he's seeing, like the level, which is kind of like a sideways version, like if you turned everything sideways.
Oh, that's weird.
And then you also see him just like with his headset on in the corner, like jumping along like normal, what everybody else sees. And it's like nobody in, it's happening in New York, Central Park, nobody is looking at him weird. They're just walking on, doing their own thing. They're
New Yorkers
like this
don't
dude
give a
is
shit.
wearing this weird like visor headset, walking along, and doing like the little hand gestures, jumping on Goombas, being like, "What?" People are just like, "Whatever, yo. I'm just gonna continue down the road." So yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's interesting too. Obviously, this is a fan made thing, but like seeing like the Microsoft and Nintendo come together for something that's pretty dope, and yeah, it looks well done. I wouldn't mind trying it. It's a good like proof of concept, but I don't think it's something you'd want to walk around wearing all the time.
No, definitely not. I really hope that they go more into AR.
Yeah, AR over VR.
I feel that's where the future is. There, the future is AR. Like VR is a cool gadget. I feel that AR has actual practical uses in real life.
Yeah.
So I really hope that they start working on that.
I feel like we're going to see AR in our homes and VR is going to be pushed to like theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I actually, when I was in Toronto, got invited to go try out VR playing, which is like a, it's almost like an escape room, but designed for VR. Ooh. So you go there and they have like 20 units. You get your own almost like padded cell, but it's not. It's like all open and everything. And you use the, well, it is. It's like three walls and a little barrier on the back. It's all padded because you can walk around. They use the HTC Vibe. You put that on. It's attached to the ceiling. They give you two controllers. They have like 30 games and you can rent an hour or more and just go to town. And you can play with people in the room too. So my buddy was with me and we were playing together against each other. So we were doing like ping pong. We were playing like a paintball game. It was pretty awesome and not super expensive either. So yeah, I do recommend if you want to try out VR in like a proper experience and you know, don't want to stand in line conference or you know, event like Comic-Con and you want to have like good time with it. And you know what? I did not get motion sick.
Oh yeah.
Not at all. I played some really cool games. This one game where I was like a samurai and I had to like zoom around this level, and so they had this really cool like jump mechanic to get you around and I had a gun and a sword and I was like slicing down other samurai.
With a gun.
A gun and a sword. It was cool. It was cool. I really enjoyed it. So
cool.
So yeah, if you're in Toronto area, you should check that out. I'm hoping at some point they do bring one to Montreal so I can get some more time with it. It's a cool thing for like a birthday party or like a team building exercise because you can get like a bunch of people together to play.
I feel it's like the future of arcades is like either retro arcades or VR arcades.
We're going to go just to the VR arcade. I would totally do that because you don't have to buy anything. You go and then like you're with friends and you have a good time with your friends. Like they could even set up like those like mats where you actually have to run to do shit. And I don't know. That would be cool.
No, they didn't have the mats in this one because they said the technology is not quite there yet. Obviously, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can still move around. Crouching is part of the game, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I was playing the paintball like first person shooter style game and crouching was important. And shooting people, capture the flag, all that jazz. But yeah, I mean, VR is so expensive if you want a solid good experience that's not gonna make you nauseous and you know all that kind of stuff. So like if you want to go try it and get good time in with it to really understand what it's all about, this is kind of the thing to do, I think. Cool. All right, guys, I think that pretty much wraps it up for news here today. It's been a quiet week because we just finished E3, but guess what? We're gonna jump into the E3 talk and all that was the fan experience right after this break. All right, we're back, and this year, E3 was open to the public. 15,000 people, actually, were able to get their hands on passes to get into the show floor, and for those of us that were not there on site, we're pretty curious to see how that panned out. Allie actually got to go. She was part of the Xbox Fan Fest, and she's seen it from two different perspectives. The year prior, I believe you got to go with Outlast because you were working the show as, you know, as part of the industry. And then this year, you got more of the fan experience. So, Allie, I'd like to know, what was it like?
It was interesting.
Okay. You said that earlier, so I'm curious to see the context around that word and the tone of it.
Well, I mean, I'm happy that fans got to experience E3. Because, I mean, that's kind of like the ultimate, right?
Yeah.
For a long time. Like, that's where everything big happened in past years. So people, it's like, you know, it's kind of like making a trip to Mecca, right? For gamers. Yeah. And so I'm excited that people got to experience that. What I'm not so excited about is the fact that the trade show itself did not know how to handle that many people. And quite literally, I mean, I obviously was not privy to the inner workings this year, but from an outside perspective, it looked the exact same as last year.
Mm-hmm.
In setup and whatnot. So like there was no physical changes made to accommodate 15,000 extra people on a daily basis. It was a flustercluck, for lack of a better word. And had I not gotten my tickets free through FanFest, I would have been disappointed, especially after having experienced events like PAX, which, you know, that's open to the public. The numbers are, you know, relatively the same, and they handle it a lot more gracefully. Yeah. There needs to be a major overhaul at this point where E3 needs to decide what it wants to be. Does it want to be an industry trade show, or does it want to be a convention that's open to the public? Because it didn't, like, it was straddling a fine line this year, and I think in order to remain relevant, especially with so many publishers and developers hosting their own shows prior to E3, they need to decide what they want to do if they want to keep being a big event in the industry. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, nothing really happens at E3 anymore.
That's true. It's all digital. Like, the conferences and all that.
And it's all in the days leading up to E3. Like, I was in Los Angeles for 3 or 4 days before E3 even started. And by the time that those 3 or 4 days were up and I had gone to all these press conferences that I wanted to go to, I felt like E3 was already done, but I still had another 3 days on the show floor to go.
That's a thing. When Catherine and I booked to go back in 2013, we assumed, like, the way that E3 kind of, like, mocks itself up on the site is they only talk about the exhibition floor days. And we were lucky that we had flown in early so that we could get into the press conferences. But they forget about these things. And what the non-industry folks don't realize is the Saturday that was EA, the Sunday that had Xbox and Bethesda, and the Monday that had Ubisoft, PlayStation, and was a PC Gamer Show, those are not E3 days. That is not part of E3.
Exactly. No. And, like, at this point, it's just kind of a clockwork thing where publishers, I mean, obviously that week, everyone's attention is on gaming, everything's on E3, but they could technically do those presentations any other time throughout the year. They just don't. And I think that's, like, E3 needs to either reel them back in or change how they want the world to see them.
Why don't they do something like Gamescom, where you have a people event and a media event? Like,
I honestly also do that. Yeah, I truly think that next year they need to have the event be 2 days for industry only, and then 3 days for the general public, if they still want to open up to the general public. But even if that's the case, they seriously need to adjust the event itself for consumers. Because it was not consumer friendly. The booths were the same size as last year. The number of stations for games was the same amount as last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the lineups, if you wanted to play one game. Okay, so example, doors opened at 10 a.m. We wanted to play Destiny 2.
Right.
We got in line at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Jeez.
And then we had to wait another 2 hours in line on the inside.
Jesus
Christ. Friggin' A.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is and not worth it.
There was no line management getting into E3. There was no line management. The people that they hired to be security and, I only ever saw one employee of the event the entire time I was there. Jeez. Everybody else was outsourced and hired security and management, and they had absolutely no idea what they were dealing with. They were rude, first off.
Well, do you blame them? There's no organization, and everybody's just going ape shit, you know?
Yeah, and it was... So, in the hall that we were in, there was a gigantic sea of us waiting in front of the escalators to go into the hall.
Yep.
And we had been waiting there since 6:30 in the morning. There was hundreds of us. Then, all of a sudden, people started lining up upstairs past the escalators, but off to the two sides. So there was these long lines on the right and left. And these people showed up out of nowhere, and security decided to let them in before people on the, like, where you're actually supposed to be lining up. It was Jesus a total, Christ. Total flusterclock. No one knew what was going on. The security was a joke. I mean, God forbid if somebody had decided to do something malicious at E3, it would have been very easily done.
That's something, there was a story on Kotaku talking about that, many people saying that security was very lax. One industry guy saying that he walked in with his book bag 3 times, no credentials being shown,
nope.
Just sauntered on in. After the Ariana Grande thing, the attacks in the Bataclan, like, you had epic shit tons of people there with, like, the biggest of that week, the biggest online following, mm-hmm. news story wise. Mm-hmm. If something had gone down, that would have been super bad.
Oh yeah, it was a little scary. There were times, and that was another thing. We saw fire marshals walking around, but the sheer number of people, they put the largest booths at the mm-hmm. closest point of entrance. So everyone just bottlenecked.
Oh.
And it was just a solid wall of people. And I really think that next year they're going to have to take a page from Gamescom and even from PAX. PAX with its enforcers, which are just mm-hmm. volunteers that are passionate about what they're there for. They need people like that.
Mm. Like, it's funny because you were saying, as a consumer, it was impossible to go see games or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was listening to another podcast with its industry people, and they were like, as industry people, it was impossible to go see games, just like to walk up to, hey, you know, they were saying, like, the years before, you just, you know, you walk in and then, like, indie developers would be like, come play our game, come see what we're all about, come see what's happening. And now that was absolutely impossible because there were so many people just there that it was impossible to just walk up to devs and talk to them because... Yeah. You just couldn't happen. So even industry people were like, it sucked. So they really have to do something.
I actually had a nightmare Tuesday night.
Gosh.
Because I was back at E3 last year, working mm-hmm. E3, but there was this many people.
Oh my God.
And I had a nightmare because it was just, I felt bad for everybody involved because I don't want fans' first impressions to be this. And I also, like, industry, you're there to do a job. And even last year with industry, there's a lot of people. And the lines got pretty long. And so just this is just, unless you had a set appointment, which a lot of people do. But sometimes, you know, something pops up and at the last minute and, you know, you want to go check it out. It was impossible for them.
Well, yeah, like I feel like you don't necessarily take meetings with indie devs. You just show up and I want to play your game and see what you guys are all about, but you couldn't even do that. So a lot of frustration went to that.
Well, I mean, you had these men in business suits next to guys wearing cat ears, you know what I mean? And it was just a very and they needed to, I feel like there should have been a dress code, to be honest. It was a little awkward.
There's another article that Kat actually linked to us from Polygon where it talks about fans feedback, very similar to what you're talking about, Allie. But one of the things I noticed is that they were talking about industry folks and media and how they were cranky. And I'm like, do you freaking blame them? They are there to do a job. That is their job. They're not there for pleasure. Like, yes, it's cool. And everybody always says, I get this all the time because I work in media. And like, oh my God, you get to go work Oshiaga. Oh my God, you go get to work E3. It's work. You don't get to see anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going full tilt. So if you're
enjoying yourself.
You're not enjoying yourself. No, so if you're dealing with all these people on top of trying to get your mandate done because it's your job and you're getting paid, frustrating.
You go there with a bunch of checkbox to check on a list. Like, I need to talk to this, I need to talk to this. And like when we went to E3, we had a mandate of a certain amount of content to produce. So if you can't get to your meetings or you can't get anything done because there's too many people, then like your employer is like, I wasted my budget on this. This was not good. So
and you won't do it the following year.
Exactly. And then the following year, people are going to be like, well, because E3 didn't work, like, let's go to Gamescom or let's go to PAX or whatever. Like, let's go to a better organized event.
Allie, how many games do you think were behind closed doors? Because when we went, we had a lot of our appointments were behind closed doors. So even if the chance had aroused for a fan to play, they wouldn't have got to see a game. Do you think a lot?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. Quite a few. Booths like Focus Home Interactive, they had very few games actually available to play. Most of them were, you know, behind closed doors by appointment only, which is fine because, I mean, once again, E3 is first and foremost a trade show. But unfortunately, if you were inviting fans, that cannot be the case.
Right. Because even those behind closed door ones, I remember, Kat, there were even certain things. There was reasons why they were showing it behind closed doors because we understood stuff in progress and things like that. With a fan, they might just report and say, like, this game looks like shit. It's the beginning. It's a vertical slice. That's all you're seeing. You have to see the forest from the trees. Do you know what I mean?
And that's exactly why I say that E3 needs to decide what it wants to be at this point.
Because I think UB, they had Beyond Good and Evil 2 behind closed doors because it's like it's in very early stages. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trailer they show was gorgeous, but they're like that game is not very far off in the development cycle of like a game that massive must take like, I don't know, 8 years to make. So that one, I know that one was behind closed door because they were like, that's like alpha. And if you show alpha to fans, they can shit on it really quickly.
Now, Allie, you also got to go to Xbox Fan Fest. So Xbox seemed to have embraced this idea of, we know the fans are coming, we're going to make a thing out of it. I know you saw that you were there, a bunch of folks that we saw from fans of Xbox Canada and Xbox Canada were there. What did they do different to really, like, encompass the fan side of things?
Well, Xbox Fan Fest has been going on for a couple of years now. And they've just really, like, I mean, I'm so thankful that I was able to experience that. And I mean, I wasn't planning on going to E3 this year. The free passes for E3 are just kind of a bonus. But I mean, Xbox Fan Fest is truly, it's a fan celebration. There's no other way to put it. It is all about us while we're there, which is kind of great. It makes you feel really special and very appreciated as part of that community. We were hosted in a separate venue. It was all laid out in a very casual, consumer-friendly way. I don't mean that they had things for sale everywhere or anything like that. It was just, you know, we were, you know, just regular people hanging out and getting to play games, which is pretty awesome for the first day before we went to the press conference. And then after that, they actually transformed the stadium into a showcase, and we got to go hands-on with all of Xbox's titles that were present at E3, and which I was very grateful for because I got to play everything that I wanted to play that night instead of trying to line up for it at E3 itself.
Smart.
But you had the heads of Xbox. You had Phil Spencer. You had Major Nelson, Aaron Greenberg. You had them just walking around and hanging out with people. They weren't behind closed doors. They weren't behind a velvet rope. They were just walking around talking to the community, and they're all there, and they're there for their community and for their fans, which is really awesome.
So, Allie, what games did you get to play?
I got to get my hands on a few titles that I was interested in, like Super Lucky's Tale. I got to give Ashen a real quick go, which, Simon, I think you will really enjoy.
Ashen?
Yeah, it's kind of, it has like a minimalist look to it. It's a fantasy game.
I've seen it.
Very Dark Souls-esque, which I think you'll like.
Nice.
But yeah, and games like Path of Exile. I'm like kind of drawing a blank right now because it was a busy night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great to be able to sit down and just, you know, not have to worry about the lines.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? It's got to be. got to be good.
And Ali, you was there. Tell me if it's true or not, but apparently some companies had stores put up that you could buy shit from them.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And not at FanFest, but at E3.
No, at E3 is what I meant.
Yeah,
that's fucking weird.
Well, no, but that's the thing. They have to decide if they want to be a consumer convention or a trade show, because it was very awkward at times. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, UB Workshop was all set up, and fans were waiting, you know, in lines for that. Bethesda had their store, but I believe they actually had that last year as well.
So, like, there was a line for literally everything. Was there a line to go to the bathroom? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For that Starbucks coffee that was in the hallway.
I would have. Oh, gosh.
No, but, yeah, I know why there was a line at UB Workshop, because I work there. They were giving away free T-shirts, so it was print on demand.
Oh.
You could make your little character from South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Nice.
So you made your superhero, and then you chose from three setups with like Kuhn and Friends and things like that, and then you would choose your T-shirt size and they would print it, and it was completely free. And at one point it was so busy that my boss was just going in line and handing people like 20% off codes for the website just to thank them for waiting 2 hours to get a T-shirt.
Yep.
And he was, and you know, they were selling out of a lot of stuff inside the store, and a lot of people that are like from Australia or from Europe where UB Workshop is not sold were like, no, I'm here to get my Division backpack, like I need to get my things because I can't order online. So it was for them, for UB Workshop, it was a giant commercial success what they did. But it was basically, if you wanted a store in E3, the booth was pre-made, and then it was just like you kind of like organized inside how you were going to sell your things, but it was just a section that was pre-made and the booths were pretty standards and things like that. So, I mean, my boss came back being happy, but they were like, yeah, we don't know what happened on the trade show because we were stuck in our booth the whole time.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's... And then they had like along the fringes of the halls, they had like these weird half booths. I don't know how much companies paid to be there, but those were a little bit awkward, usually filled with one or two people trying to sell you something or, you know, prototyping their latest projector or something. That was weird.
What was it like having Xbox in a different space? Because they were in the other room this year.
Oh, I mean, it was fine. It was that doesn't really feel different.
Okay.
Like the two halls don't really feel super different from one another. They both have big booths, they both have small booths, they both have you know, that one popular game that everyone's lining up to try. So yeah, it just feels like two different
locations. I have a random question.
Yeah. Go.
Did it smell bad at E3?
No.
Like, was there a general smell of BO?
No, I mean, it was fine. I feel like that's kind of like an old, like,
well,
I feel like,
but it's true, though.
I feel like it's kind of like an old wives' tale now. I think everyone knows to wear deodorant at these events. Yeah. Some people don't, but I think the majority of us do. But no, the air conditioning was cranked throughout the event, and no one smelled bad. So, I mean, physically, I wasn't overheating or, you know, on the verge of passing out or anything like that. It was just so many people.
Yeah. My claustrophobia would have kicked in real good then. Real good. So last week, Ellie, we all said what our game of show kind of thing is, what we're most excited to see is. What's yours? What did you like the best? What did you get hands on that you're most excited to play now in full release after E3?
Well, I guess it goes without saying Destiny 2.
Okay.
But surprisingly enough, I had a lot of fun with Super Lucky's Tale.
Mm.
And that's really good. What I'm kind of like the most stoked for. And then, you know, in the next little while, everything else, I feel like this year was kind of an interim year for E3 and for developers and publishers. We saw a lot of the same things, just a little bit more of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Xbox announced a lot of titles and not all of them were playable. So I wasn't able to get hands on with all of them, but of the ones I was able to play, definitely Super Lucky's Tale and, Path of Exile, probably.
Cool.
That was a lot of fun.
And one thing that I forgot to ask you about, Mixer was obviously a big part of the show this year. They were doing a lot of stuff. How was that? How did they have their stuff set up? And did you get to see much?
Yeah, I mean, I got to meet up with a lot of friends from Mixer. I was able to speak with James, who's one of the co-creators of mm-hmm. Mixer. They were like in the entryway mm-hmm. to one of the halls, just set up. They had a lounge for us to hang out in. And it was great. It was like, I tweeted about it actually. It felt very much like the site. Everyone was welcoming and awesome. And we all just kind of hung out with one another. And it was exciting to meet people face to face after so long talking online, you know, seeing them through a webcam. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was pretty great. It was nice to see them there. Josh Steingen?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no. I had been seeing him the entire event.
That's cool. And did you get lots of swag?
Yes. I have lots of swag, including a Mixer fidget spinner.
Ooh, a Mixer fidget spinner.
It's pretty awesome. I have my own, but it's not Mixer.
Yeah, the folks at Mixer definitely hooked me up with a lot of swag.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps up all our conversations for E3 from the show floor. Thanks, Allie. I know you were there on your own and all that kind of stuff, doing your own thing as a fan, but it's very exciting and interesting commentary to hear.
No, it was fun to talk about it.
Yay! All right, I think that kind of closes out our show. Stream, team, Mixer, all that jazz. Simon, what's up, man?
We have how do you call when two streamers streams together?
Co-streams.
Thank you so much. We have a lot of stuff brewing in chat, so keep an eye out for that. It should be happening pretty soon. I know that Steffi has started using it. Stains wants to start using it as well. So check out girlsongame.tv. Check us out on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. There should be a lot of co-streams happening in the next couple weeks. Should be fun.
Very nice. Kat, what's going on our website?
Pretty quiet week on our website. There's your review of ARMS. So if
it's good, more... go read it.
It's a good read,
but it's not a good game.
Spoiler. No, it's a good read.
So go check out that. There's all our backlog of reviews and things. If you're curious about what Simon thought of Shadow of Mordor the first time he played it, you can search for it.
That was kind of an awkward article because everyone's like, this is amazing, and I was like, it's okay.
I remember the doubt you had, and I felt the same thing about ARMS because I was looking at the reviews it was getting eights, and I was like, am I just dumb? Like, you sit there and I'm like, do I just suck at video games? Well, what's wrong with
me? That's exactly how I felt, because everyone was like, this is amazing, it's really fun, it's cool, and I was like, yeah, I see the merit, but it's not like mind-blowing or anything. So I was like, is something wrong with me? Like, what am I doing not properly? So
Simon, now that you got it for $6, I think you should play it again and then make a follow-up article about if it still sucks.
That could be interesting. Yeah, I will try that. That's interesting. Cool.
Sweet. Good stuff. All right, so before I let you all go, of course, I want to thank all the lovely folks here on our podcast and get you to follow them all on social media. Allie, how can people follow you?
I'm 8BitBlonde, pretty much everywhere on the internet, including Xbox Live, Twitter, Instagram, as such.
Nice. Kat, how can people follow you?
I'm CSDESBINS, CSDBIEN. On most gaming platforms, and as well as Twitter and Instagram, and you can add me on BlizzNet because I'm playing a lot of Overwatch at the moment.
On BlizzNet?
That's not what it's called anymore.
No,
BattleNet.
It's not even called BattleNet, but it's the Blizzard B-net? App. But yeah, I mean,
BlizzNet.
Guys, find me on the BlizzNet and on the tweeters and on the.
Oh my god, I just mashed the old name with the new name. Anyway,
we know what you mean.
Yes. Find me there. Let's play
the Blizzard app.
Yeah, let's very play nice. Mystery Heroes because it's funny as fuck.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, because Destiny 2 is probably why they called it the Blizzard app. Because it was just because everyone was like, why would you stop? Why would you rename, why would you remove BattleNet? Why would you do that? That's dumb. And now it kind of makes sense. I guess they want to branch out of Blizzard games. So that's. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
There you go. Simon, how can people track you down?
GOG Simon on Twitter, 42X on Xbox, and that's it.
Cool. I'm Leah Jew, our most social media. You can track me down there, or GOG Leah on Mixer and Xbox Live. So yeah, if you want to come hang out on Mixer, that'd be fun. Let's go stream together. But of course, everything you want to know is about Girls Like Games, right? That's us. That's what we do. So you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Girls on Games. We're on Instagram at Girls on Games. If you want to continue this lovely conversation about video games and more, go hang out on our Discord channel. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, everything you ever need to know is on our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. So for another week, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, everybody listening. We love you. Have a wonderful week and enjoy playing some games. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.